just want to echo what Andrew prayed. My heart goes out to all the people in Florida and Texas and all around that are suffering. I have a brother in Tampa that's had to evacuate, and now it looks like the storm's going right through where he evacuated, so I'm glad he got out. But I just want you to know we partner, I think I said it last week, but we partner with Convoy of Hope and Christ in Action. Those are two first responding groups. We give $50,000 a year to Convoy for situations like this. So that's why it's so important that you're faithful and consistent in your giving, because when these circumstances come up, we can just send it out from here and say, hey, your brothers and sisters in Midlothian are thinking about you and we want to make a difference. If you're interested in giving more and you want to give through the church, we will funnel that to Convoy and to Christ in Actions. Both of them, you can look at them online. You can find out if that's someplace you want your money to go in, and we'd be happy to help you do that. So we're praying for that. Also, we're believing God to help them. Also, if you have a smartphone, I wanted to remind you, we have a Bible app. If you go to the app, we don't have a Bible app, but we're a part of an app. So if you go to the Bible app and then you hit more and you go to events, it pops up, Cloverhill Assembly of God Live. You hit that. There's sermon notes. There's opportunities. There's ways to give. There's upcoming to get events. Just a resource that you can go to every week, and there should be some things on there that will be helpful. Today we're in between series. That means that, like, I just finished a series on Big Church, and next week I'm starting a series on Joseph, which I think will be one of the best series that we've ever had here at Clover Hill. And this is why, because we want to partner it with a small group all-church study. So you're going to come Sunday morning and listen to me preach on Joseph, and we're going to dig into the Bible. But then that week, you're going to go out. Pastor Eric's developed a resource, a study guide, where you go with your small group, you break out together, you talk about, you go a little bit deeper, you go further in the Word, you're able to ask questions, you're able to give input, to give insight, to learn from one another. And that's just going to be, I think it's going to be so valuable in your Christian life and in your journey. I'm really excited about that. If you're not in a group, we have group link tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll talk more about that at the end. But we want you to come. If you are in a group, or you lead a group, tonight at 5. If you're a leader of a group, tonight at 5. I'm going to encourage you, give you some resources to make your hour and a half with your group the best it can be. And then we'll kick off next Sunday with these groups on different days throughout the weeks. And you say, well, does that matter? Does it really matter that I'm in a group? I come on Sunday morning. What's the big deal? Well, I think it really, really matters. Because once somebody said, I didn't say this, but I've heard it and I've seen it lived out. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me who you're hanging around and I'll show you where you're headed. Solomon said it like this: walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And how many have seen this? If I had a dollar for every time a teenage mom said, I it's the friends they had. If they just weren't hanging out with that particular group. But here's the reality. It just doesn't stop with teenagers. It goes through all seasons of our lives. We all need friends, and the friends we choose are very, very important. Because if you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. But if you're a companion of fools, you'll become fools. Here, if you hang out with people that are for marriage, that love marriage, that fight for their marriage, that want the best for their marriage, there's a good chance that's going to bleed over to you, and you're going to do likewise. But if you hang out with people who don't care about their marriage, this is just a commitment to break, it's not that big of a deal, that attitude, that thinking is going to pour into your life. If you hang out with people who steward their money wisely and honor the Lord with their wealth, that again, that's going to rub off. It's just a biblical principle. You don't have to think about it. It just naturally happens. You hang out with the wise, you become wise. You hang out with people that love Jesus, are passionate about Jesus, want Jesus more than anything, that study His Word and stay a part of church. I mean, that's going to bleed over. You're gonna want that. On the flip side, if you hang out with people that don't care about Jesus, that don't want much to do with His Word, that He's just a secondary relationship, it's going to spill over into your life. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Walk with the wise, and you'll become wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. So with that in mind, I want you to take a minute and write down 5 of your closest friends, either on your cell phone, on a piece of paper. I don't see a whole lot of people moving. Is that because you don't have friends or because you don't have any pen or paper? This is a participating, is that a word? Participatory, that's definitely not a word. It's where all of us are doing it together, where we're trying to figure out. I want you to really, this is important, write down your 5 closest friends. And if you're not in the habit of bringing a pen or a paper or taking notes, I really encourage you to do that because I've worked extremely hard on this message, and I don't want you forgetting it 5 minutes after you leave the door. I want you to glean from it throughout the week. So just write down your five closest friends, and I don't mean family members, your dog, your cat. That doesn't count. I mean people that you can call 2 a.m. and they'd answer the phone. I mean people that know your kids' names and you know their kids' names. People that motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live for Jesus more than you are. People, friends that consider you like family are even closer than family. Just five, no more than five, just five of your closest friends. And if you're struggling with that, you're not alone. 25% of Americans report that they do not have one single close, trusted friend. What I have found out in our culture that we are void of close friends, that we are suffering from what I call relational poverty. You have 700 friends on Facebook who know what you had for breakfast this morning, but you don't have a few friends that you can go out to breakfast with. Can I just tell you, Facebook should not be a supplement to a relationship, not a replacement. Relationships are built face to face, not thumb to thumb. You say, "Well, I don't need them. I don't need anybody. I can do it on my own. I'm on my own, man. I'm better off by myself." That attitude is distinctly contrary to the Word of God. You weren't meant to do it alone. When you were saved, you were put in a family. When you were born again, you were connected to other believers. That's why there's over 50 one another's in the Bible. Love one another, serve one another, honor one another, cherish one another, carry each other's burdens, pray for one another, submit to one another. Your relationship with God is personal, but it was never meant to be lived out in the private. You were placed in a family. You were meant for community. Have you ever went on a missions trip? And if you haven't, I really encourage you to put that on your bucket list. Save the money. Find a spot. We'll have several going next year where you can sign up and be a part. And every time I go, I always think, man, I'm going to be such a blessing. I'm going to come alongside these poor people and invest in their lives. And they're going to be better because I'm there. And to every trip, I've come back. And instead of being the main blesser, I'm the blessee. I leave with a different attitude, with a different perspective, with a different appreciation. And it usually happens around the third day. The first 3 days, I'm thinking, man, these poor people, they don't have running water and they don't have toilets and they only eat one meal a day. And I can't believe how they could even live. And I'm just overcome with just compassion for them and want them to get better. But by the end of the week, man, I'm almost jealous. I'm envious of the way they worship. They just go after God like he's really there. And they pray like he's listening. And they love on each other like it's the only thing they got. And they take care of one another's kids. And there's such a rich community and such a rich and spiritual environment. And I come back always going, God, I have so much. Materially, I'm so blessed. And physically, I'm so blessed. But what is it that's missing? And I've come to find out in a lot of our lives, it's not what's missing. It's who's missing. We're just void of key relationships. We're void of people coming alongside of us and helping us in our journey. And not only are we void of relationships, but I've also realized that we don't have the right friends. Remember, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. This is what I believe. You're one friend away from fulfilling your destiny and reaching your potential and becoming all that God intended you to be. But you gotta choose the right friends. You gotta surround yourself with the right people. So what kind of friends do I need? There are four or five that I want to point out. You need friends who will make you better. You need friends who's going to come alongside you and lift you and take you further than you could go by yourself and keep you grounded spiritually more than you could do by yourself. There's multiple stories in the Bible, but one of them is Paul and Barnabas. And before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. I know that's confusing, but just try to stay with me. And he gets knocked off his horse on his way to a city to kill other Christians, and he has a radical transformation, and God just opens up his heart and his mind to the things of God, and I mean, he's just changed and transformed, and he wants to be a part of the church. He wants to be a part of the disciples, and they no way, man. They stiff arm him. You're not going to be a part of us. You were killing us yesterday. You're not going to be in our small group. You're not going to be a part of this movement. You're not doing. And then a guy comes along who made him better, if he didn't have a Barnabas in his life, I don't know if Paul would have made it. But they started hanging out with each other, and they started encouraging. Barnabas started encouraging Paul and saying, "Hey, Paul, I'm not going to allow your past to dictate your future. Quit living out your rearview mirror. God has something in store for you." And he put Barnabas put his name on the line, And he brought Paul before the disciples and said, hey, guys, this guy is for real. He's had a legitimate conversion. He could make a real difference. You know the story of Paul. He goes on to write a third of the New Testament. He planted churches. He really put the gospel in a nutshell that we're saved by grace through faith. What if there would have been no Paul, no Barnabas? What if there had not been a friend to come alongside him and make him a little better? I have a friend like that. And he's 70 years old. He celebrated his 70th birthday. And friends are not, I don't think we need to be age specific, but this guy, 70 years old, I called him. Hey, Pastor Dave, man, I'm so happy for you. So thankful for your life. Because 30 years ago, I was his youth pastor, and he mentored me, and he spoke into my life, and he took me to the hospitals, and I watched as he prayed for people. And I went to homes as he followed up with visitors. And I did platform ministry with him, and he spoke into my life when I did something good, and he spoke into my life when I did something bad. And because of a Dave Daniels making me better, I am in large part of who I am today. I had a friend that just said, hey, I'm gonna come alongside this guy and make him better. There's David and Jonathan. David, you know, the guy that killed Goliath. Before he killed Goliath, he was just a little rowdy, least likely sheep herder that God calls and Samuel anoints to be the next king. The only problem is there's already a king. And Saul sees the anointing of God on David's life. Saul, not the New Testament Saul that becomes Paul. Saul, the Old Testament Saul. Are you still following me? See why you need a pen to write this down so you can track it all. And Saul's the king, and he starts getting jealous. And he's getting mad because everybody's getting all... He's just like a magnet, and here's what they're singing about him. They're saying Saul slain his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And girls want to date him, and boys want to be like him. And I mean, he's just the talk of the town, and he's stirring up. And so Saul gets extremely jealous and goes, I'm going to kill this guy. But David had a friend, and it just happened to be Saul's son, Jonathan. And they'd made a covenant with one another where they were one in spirit. And David was out hiding from Saul. Saul was closing in to kill him. His anger and his jealousy were intensifying. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David and helped him find strength in God. You know what we need? We need friends that will help us find strength in God, that will come alongside of us and make us better. Ron Simmons is one of those friends. He has a Tuesday morning small group where about seven guys get together. And for the last several years, they've been sharing God's word and sharing their life and praying together and loving on each other. And there have been guys that have gone through challenges and difficulties and bad times and hard circumstances. But that group has rallied together, and they just say, hey, we're not going to let you go through this alone. We're for you. We're praying for you. You can make it. Get up. Put your hand on the plow. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And many of those men are still in the game because they've surrounded themselves with friends that are making them better. This week, Angie and I sat down with some of our closest friends, and they were just really struggling with their struggle right then was parenting, and they're right in the midst of it, and it's really up close, and they're thinking we're ruining our kids, and why is there so much chaos, and why is it happening like it is, and I'm frustrated. I get home angry. I go to bed angry. What's happening? And I mean, they're just broken. And sometimes you need a friend that can just step back. And it's not so close to them. They can look from the outside and see a different perspective. And Angie was able to speak into that girl's life and say, hey, you are a great mom. You're doing a great job. Keep doing what you're doing. Do your best. Forget the rest. You're going to make it. This is just a season. And you could see as they began to talk and share that just some confidence rose up. And through the tears, she began to say, I can make it. I can do it. Why? Because we need friends that will come alongside of us to make us better. There are going to be times in your life where you're questioning, where you're doubting, where you're thinking, does this matter? What's the big deal? I'd be better off doing my own thing. Where you could go through a season where you're spiritually dry, that's challenging, and it's got, if you're not careful, that's got you drifting away from your relationship with Jesus. And when you're doubting yourself and feeling less than, you need friends who will make you better. Yesterday, Emily and I, my daughter, we made a commitment several weeks ago, and the friend that called me, he knew the commitment that we made, that we were going to read the Bible every day, two chapters a day. We were going to write down our thoughts, and one day a week we were going to get together, and we were going to share what the Lord was showing us. And he said, Stan, how's your commitment with Emily going, and how's that turning out? And you know what, I had to be honest. I wanted to lie, but I had to be honest. I fell off that wagon a long time ago, man. And I hate to admit it, but it went really good for about 3 days. And then I went AWOL on it. And you know what? I didn't get offended. I got inspired. I got encouraged. Hey, man, you're right. I need to get back on this train. I made a commitment. Emily will be better for it. I'll be better for it. I'm picking back up. Hey, thanks for calling. I appreciate your encouragement. I need friends that will make me better. And so do you. Here's how the Bible says it. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Do you have friends in your life that make you better? Here's another friend you need. Do you have friends who really care? There's a story in Mark chapter 2 of this guy that had been crippled from birth, wants to be healed, wants to get in Jesus' presence. But the crowds are so large, and obviously he can't walk, he can't get there on his own. And so four of his friends put him on a stretcher and start taking him to the meeting where Jesus is. Jesus is preaching in a building that's slam-packed, it's overflowing, but people are getting healed and lives are being changed. We just got to get them there. And they get to the door of the meeting, they can't get through. They can't make their way to Jesus. I don't know how they do it. They get around on the side. Somebody shimmies up the building somehow. They get on the roof. They cut a hole in it. And they just kind of, they lay it, they rappel him down right to the feet of Jesus, and he gets healed, he gets restored. So, some of us there, you're going to need some friends when life throws you a curveball, when storms come out of nowhere. Listen, I just want to tell you, there's a good chance in your life, one day you're going to get a report from a doctor, a call from a loved one, a notice from a boss, a revelation about your kid, and you're going to need some friends that will see you in your brokenness and still love you, that will care about you and will put you on a stretcher and walk with you and get you to a place where you can find healing and hope. You'll never know the value of true friends until you go through a trial, a tragedy, a challenge. It's what makes overcomers so successful. Because they come on Monday nights and they're wrestling with issues and struggles and difficulties. And the whole theme is, the whole idea is, you're not alone. You're not on an island. We're not going to let you go through this stuff by yourself. We're going to call you. We're going to text you. We're going to stay with you. And you don't have to have an addiction to need some friends like that. You just need to live long enough to experience some bad news, difficult situations, challenging circumstances. And it's my hope, it's my prayer, that if you're a part of Clover Hill, that you don't have to go through any of that stuff alone. Why? Because the enemy loves isolation. If he can get you isolated, he can get you messed up. Listen to what Peter said. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I just want to point out and show you the connection between the devil and a lion, which is part of the cat family. And I've been telling you for years that cats were of the devil. It's right in the Word of God. It's right there. The devil is a roaring lion, which is a descendant of a cat. So get all the cats out your house. I'm just kidding. But the devil wants to isolate us. He wants to get us alone so that he can steal and kill and destroy us. I found a video on YouTube about a water buffalo and some lions coming after him. And I want to show it to you. And I think it communicates a point that we all need. Guys, throw that up there, will you? We put a little music to it to make it a little better. Here's this water buffalo. He's isolated, all alone, doing his own thing. And here comes the lions, the enemy, the cats, getting him. They've got him down. He is not going to make it. But here comes his small group. Here comes his buddies. Don't mess with my man. Hey, get out of there. Hey, take that, devil. You're not messing with my friend. Bam. Done. Go. Get out. We need friends like, yeah, why don't you clap? We need friends like that. We need friends that will say, hey, I'm not going to let you do this on your own. Nobody ought to fight cancer alone. You don't need to hurt financially alone. You don't need to watch a kid go prodigal alone. You don't need to go through a divorce alone. You don't need to fight an addiction alone. You don't need to battle the devil alone. You need some people that will come alongside you and make you better and really care and lift you to a higher place and really show you the compassion and the love of Christ. And some of you today are vulnerable because you're isolated. But the good news is you're one friend away from receiving the love and the support and the care that you need to get you through it. And my hope is that you'll connect with a small group, that you'll take the time and the effort and make the decision to be a part of a group that's focused on the same thing, that wants a relationship with Jesus, that will come alongside you and not only help you to get through something, but to help you flourish through something. Why? Because a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for what? He's born for adversity. And here's my encouragement and my challenge. Don't wait for the adversity before you start reaching out. Start reaching out and developing relationships so when the adversity comes, you've got some buddies that will come alongside you and say, take this devil in Jesus' name. We're not going to let you get our brother. We're not going to let you get our sister. We're going to stand in the gap. We're going to build up a hedge. We're going to pray. We're going to encourage. We're going to come alongside. We're going to help. We're going to invest in. We're going to make a difference. We're going to fight together. And we're going to make it. In the name of Jesus. Do you have friends that really care? Here's another kind of friend that you need. Do you have friends who will tell you the truth? I love the story of, I don't know if I love it, it's kind of a sad story, but David and Nathan. David, the same guy that had Jonathan, now he becomes king, and things are going well, and he's routing a lot of enemies and taking a lot of ground, but then he gets his eyes off of God. And he gets his eyes on a woman, and he has an affair, and it just kind of messes everything up. But nobody's talking about it. Nobody's dealing with it. And David just kind of sweeps it under the rug, and nobody wants to call him on the carpet, and nobody wants to deal with it until this friend Nathan comes along. And Nathan says, David, I want to tell you a little story. There was these two guys in one particular town, and one guy was really rich, and he had cattle, and he had sheep, and he had everything he wanted, and I mean, he really didn't go without anything. But there was this other guy who was really poor, and he had one little sheep. And that one little sheep drank out of his cup and slept in his arms. He treated it like his daughter. It was his prized possession. It was his joy. It was really his only possession. It was what he loved. And a visitor came to town, and that rich man, instead of taking one of his cattle, one of his sheep, went to this poor guy's house and got the one sheep, and he killed it, and he cooked it, and he served it to the visitor for dinner. And the Bible says that David, he was in a rage. How can it be? And Nathan said, David, you're the man. And it was at that point where David did, I mean, it like the sin that was done in darkness came into the light and it exposed it. And from that moment on, David was able to repent and receive healing and move on. But I think if David didn't have a friend like Nathan, he would have spoke. Some of us, we need friends that will just speak into our lives, who we allow to speak into our life. You're married to your job. That what you're doing is not very smart. You're killing your marriage. You're hurting your testimony. You're headed down the wrong road. That's not going to end up the way you think it is. You're just acting a little controlling. You better watch your pride. How are you doing spiritually? We need friends in our lives that will speak the truth to us in love. Here's what Proverbs said. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from the enemy. Do you have a friend that is willing to speak the truth to you? That you have built a relationship with in such a way that when they speak to you, you don't get offensive. You know they love you. You know they're for you. You know they want the best for you. And so when they speak to you and when they talk to you and when they address something in your life, it's not, whoa, you don't know what you're talking about. No, you know me as good as anybody. And if you see that, man, maybe I need to open up my eyes to what could be. Do you have a friend that can tell you the truth? So remember, hang out with the wise, you'll be wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. We're void of relationships and we're not reaching our full potential. We're really good at social media, but we're not good at sitting across from a table from one another and encouraging and challenging and spurring one another on towards good, loving good deeds, of fulfilling the one another's in the Bible. And I think God is really wanting us to call us back to that by just having you answer a few questions. Do you have a friend that makes you better? Do you have a friend that really cares? Do you have a friend that can tell you the truth? Here's another friend. We need friends who you can serve with. Do you need friends who will serve with you? Who will serve with you? There's another great story in the Old Testament. It's about Jonathan and his armor bearer. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And Jonathan, back in that day, Philistines were the constant oppressor. They were the enemy. They were the they were the Israelites' constant adversary. And so there was always conflict and tension and fights. And so Jonathan went out one day, and he had his friend, his armor bearer, with him. And they looked over the ravine, and there was just a small group. Well, not a small group compared to them. There's about 30 Philistines that had gathered. And David, you know, I mean, Jonathan, that's what they did. They fought the Philistines. So he looked at his armor bearer, and he said, "Hey, pal, what do you think? Perhaps God will give us victory today." I love that. Perhaps God. I don't know if he will, but maybe. And we ought to step out. We ought to do something. We ought to take a risk. We ought to get involved. We ought to try to do something in this situation. And you know what the armor bearer said? "Jonathan, whatever in your heart to do, I'm right there with you, buddy. Let's go. We can do this." Steve Boston's group illustrates this so well. We have a backpack program where on Friday afternoons we deliver backpacks not to Haiti, not to Mexico, to Crenshaw Elementary, which is a quarter of a mile up the street, to kids who, if they don't have them backpacks, many of them will not eat over the weekend. You say, "That's not happening in our city." It is happening. It's happening right up the road, and we have a responsibility to meet that need and come alongside them. And so we give these backpacks, small groups, put food in them, and they take them home so they can eat some non-perishables through the weekend. Steve Poston said, "We want to do more." He's got a group of about seven men. "We want to do more. We want to invest more." And so they started writing notes of encouragement to this little boy. "Hey, pal, we're praying for you today. We want you to know that we're for you, that you got a great potential, that you got a great future, that you're a great kid. We love you." And the grandmother started reading them, and she started writing back, saying, "Man, thank you so much, not only for the food, but for the notes. My little boy, grandson, looks forward to them every week. It's the highlight of his week. He loves opening up, reading them. You're making such a big difference." And over the last fall, they began to develop a little relationship. So at Christmas time, Steve went to our house, took a gift from all the guys. They got them $350 worth of gift cards, and they brought them to the house with another encouraging card and just said, "Hey, we want to bless you, and we want you to know that we're for you and we're praying for you." And they sat down and they began to share their story. And this little boy, his father's in prison till 2062. And his mother is in jail. And so the grandparents had adopted him. And 2 months after they adopted him, the grandfather died. So this grandmother in her 70s is raising this fifth grader and her little sister. And Steve's group said, "We're not going to let you do that alone. We've got some resources. They've just been pouring into this family. They had a big birthday party for him on his birthday. And because they didn't want to leave the little girl out, they bought her a bike. I mean, just celebrating, coming alongside. Even in the last 2 weeks, I received a letter from the grandmother. And it said, 'I don't know what you're sharing with your church, but they are the most compassionate, kind, generous people I've ever met in their life. You need somebody to come alongside you and just serve with you to make a difference. I can have an impact, but together we can change a community. Together we can make a huge, huge difference.' Here's what the Bible says: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work." Do you have some friends that you're serving with? We have small groups that are hosting adoption parties and are rallying around single moms and feeding the homeless and visiting the incarcerated and encouraging social workers and involved in different projects that come up. As I conclude today, I just want to remind you and let you know you could be a few friends away from changing your destiny and your course. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You could be a few friends away from the marriage you've always wanted, from becoming the parent that you've longed to be, a few friends away from being more generous, touching more lives, overcoming an addiction, a few friends away from growing in your walk with Christ, learning to hear his voice, following his lead, and experiencing his favor, a few friends away from fully reaching your potential and answering to a higher call. We all need friends. We need the right kind of friends. So what do I do? Thanks for asking. I'll tell you, this is what you do. You be that kind of friend. You be that kind of friend. Be a friend that helps others get better. Be a friend that shows by your actions and your words that you really care. Trust enough to hear the truth and share the truth. Work together to make a difference in our community and around the world. Be that kind of friend. Be the initiator. Take the first step. I get frustrated with people that they go through a trial and they go through a challenge and they complain at the church and they get mad at me because they don't have anybody to go through it. And I ask, what small group are you in? And they go, we don't have time for that. Well, who are you hanging out with? We work too much. We're on the ball field when we're not, and I'm not bashing the ball field. I'm just saying we need one another. And these folks that are the last ones to get here and the first ones to leave. And then when things happen, when they need something and it doesn't work out, it's because they've not initiated, they've not taken the first step. I'm encouraging you, be that kind of friend. Be an encourager. Be someone that cares. Grab somebody and say, hey, let's go take care of this need. Let's do it together. Make it a core value. That just means that it's a priority in your life. One of the core values at Clover Hill is we make room for life-giving relationships because we're better together. And we worded that kind of intentionally. We make room for them. Because I don't know if you're like me, but by nature, that doesn't come natural to me. That's not my bent. That's not necessarily what I want to do. I want to go home and be with my family. I want to spend some time alone. But the Word of God says that I was built and made for community, and I'm better together. And there are some people that need me, and I need others. Therefore, I've got to step out. I've got to make it a core value. I've got to make room for life-giving relationships. Because only then can I really reach my full potential in Christ. Get in a group. Tonight at 5:00, I'll be encouraging all the leaders. Come, will you? We're going to pray together. I'm going to give you some resources, some tools that will make that hour and 15 minutes, hour 30 a week the best it can be. And at 6:00, if you're not in a group, come. We've got men's groups and women's groups and couples groups and support groups. We've got every kind of group that you want to be a part of. We'll tell you what time they meet, where they meet. We'll make it as convenient and easy as possible so you can slide into a group and begin to build and develop and create relationships with people who are doing life the way you want to do life, who want their marriage to succeed, who want their relationship with Christ to be strong, who want to be the parent that God's called them to be, who want to be the employee that God desires them to be. Get in a group. Here's how the Bible says it again. This is the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They made it a core value. We're going to get together with the body of Christ. We're going to do it in large setting and we're going to do it in homes. Listen, here's what it says. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. The word is koinonia. It means they had deep fellowship for each other. And it just goes back to, how are they going to know that we're the followers of Christ? How are they going to know the love of God? By our love for one another. They were walking together and living together and encouraging together. And they sold their property and possessions that they gave to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in homes and ate together with a glad and sincere heart, and together they turn their world upside down. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You might be one friend away from becoming a better you, making it through a difficult season, coming clean, getting back on track, avoiding disaster, making a difference that lifts someone else, brings joy and satisfaction to you. One friend away. Here's my challenge. Will you commit to being that friend? And will you commit to finding that friend? And tonight is a great place to start. Amen, everybody. Bow your heads and your hearts with me. Will you, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And may it challenge us. May it convict us. May it draw us. With your heads bowed and your eyes shut, the greatest friend you need is Jesus. As much as we need one another, you cannot fill the hole in your heart with another person, a wife, a spouse, a friend, a kid, a grandkid. Well, you were created with a hole in your heart by God that could only be filled with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus met the woman at the well, he said, if you'll drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. Why did he tell her that? Because she had been trying to fill that void and quench that thirst with men, with friendships, with husbands. She had five, and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. It just wasn't satisfying. It wasn't fulfilling. Jesus said, hey, start with me, and then everything else will work out. Everything else will. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then you can love others as you love yourself. Maybe you're here today, and you've drifted from God. You're not walking with God. You realize today, man, I need Jesus. I need him to forgive me. I need him to cleanse you. In just a moment, the praise team is going to sing one last song, and I'm going to invite you front. While I do, will you just stand to your feet, everybody? Will you stand to your feet? If you need Jesus today, if you need to come back to Jesus today, if he's stirring your heart, I want you to step out. I want you to come. But not just for that. Maybe you're sick in body. Maybe you got a bad report. Maybe you're walking with a prodigal kid. Maybe you got a job situation that's less than ideal. Maybe, I don't know, that maybe you got family members in Florida where you just want somebody to agree with you. We don't want you to go through anything alone at Clover Hill. We want to partner with you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. If you need Jesus today, if you need somebody to pray with you today, I want to invite you. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to ask that the Lord will give you courage, that you'll step out from where you're standing, walk to the front, and allow us to agree with you. Can we do